at my best shot, and I was opening the altar, and my lens in my right eye just fell right out on the floor. Now, that's better than Brother Cisco, because he talks about his glass eye rolling down and rolling under this lady's dress and kind of figuring, you know, like, better wait for a while here before I get that. Praise God. And he tells the story. It's hilarious. Really, really happened. He was just taking, you know, he was rolling his eye around, just taking a look around. Amen. Church. So I haven't gone that far, but he's, you know, you hear him and it's true. It's all true. Oh, praise God. Okay. I'm going to switch this around just a little bit, Gwen, and I think you'll see that in my scriptural page there. There's a little verse. There's a little verse in Ephesians 6. And you probably remember that Ephesians 6 is that chapter on warfare. You know, take the sword of God. You know, take the shield of faith. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All these different things. But about the head, okay, would you stand? Ephesians 6:17. We're going to start with that. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 8 before we pray. Appreciate everybody. That was an awesome missions presentation, wasn't it? That's always a treat. And you know, when you hear from somebody that's been on the mission field and lived there, there's just something in there that's, you can feel it, that they've been there, done that. And so it's in her heart, you can tell. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet. Notice it doesn't say nightcap or baseball cap or, you know, cap at all. And take the helmet. Why would he encourage us to take the helmet? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then to Acts chapter 8. Appreciate everybody that's here today. God bless you. I try to welcome everybody. And I might not have gotten to you yet, but if not, then I'm coming your way, Lord willing. Want everybody to feel the welcome. We can't take anybody for granted. By the way, he's given me some stuff for tonight. Normally my wife would be teaching, but she's been in a series on prayer, so I'm giving her a little peace, little refreshing. But so don't go into mourning yet. Don't go into mourning, please. Don't go into mourning. When you get in your car, you can go into mourning. Okay. Acts 8, verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, I can stop and preach on that a while. It's not supposed to be complicated to get the Holy Ghost. You know, lay the hands on them, boom, get the Holy Ghost. Well, I like that. But let's read on. Verse 18. And when Simon, and earlier in the chapter, it tells us that he was a sorcerer. That's not somebody that deals with saucers. Okay, I'll pronounce it a little bit stronger here. A sorcerer. Okay. And he was supposed to have repented. He was impressed with the way things were, but evidently there was not a whole lot that changed. And really, that's how we're supposed to start off this Christianity, with a major change in us. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Anybody got a problem yet? Hey, dude, man, hey, you know, I just kind of been blessed. I've been doing some extra tricks over here in this neighborhood. That was cool. You just laid, you know, anybody got a problem with that? Well, he had a lot of great spirituality, didn't he? Give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. I want you to notice just how abrupt, how clear this word was from Simon Peter. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. At that point, Simon knew he was in trouble. He knew it. But notice how this is written. Because thou hast thought. You thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Verse 21. Thou hast neither pot nor... Pot. Glad we got delivered in pot. thou hast neither part nor lot. There we go. Got to the lot, the OT word. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right. You're not going to get to heaven head first. You'll get their heart first. You won't get their head first. You'll get their heart. We'll get their heart first. See, living for God is not a hard thing. It's a heart thing. And now, notice that in verse 20, he said, because you thought. And then verse 21, he says, your heart's not right. Your thoughts are a revelation of what's in your heart. See, they're a table of contents. They're an index of what's in your heart. Your thoughts, my thoughts. So, verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this thy... He didn't call it... He just called it outright wickedness. You and I, we probably wouldn't have called it that. I'm gonna tell you what I know, how the world teaches this. It doesn't teach it like the scriptures do. The world has a much more watered down version. Okay, watch this. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Am I reading it right? Now, isn't that something? See, the reason for the helmet. Most of your attacks, before they ever become physical attacks, will be mental. They'll be in your thought arena. There's a reason why he said, put the helmet on. Why do football players wear helmets? So they can have some extra baggage to carry around while they're running down the field. And there's a big, big controversy today about concussions. And there are a lot of football players that are having major problems today because they played in the NFL for years. And they took a lot of hits and they lost a lot of their physical ability. I'm told that it takes Brett Favre 40 minutes just to get out of bed. Three-time MVP. 40 minutes just to get out of bed because of all the hits and stuff through the years as one of the finest quarterbacks to play the game. Okay, so here we go. The reason for the helmet. It's a big one. Major, major door that the enemy uses. And if you let your thoughts run wild and not judge them, they will take you to hell. All right. So I want to encourage you in this, and I'll share with you a little bit of what's happening to me, because it seems like the Lord preaches a lot to others through what's happening to me. I've had to literally work in this arena, and I've had to pull my thoughts together and make them obey me and obey the word of God. Especially when you're angry. Or especially when you're hurt. Or especially when you've been steamrolled. Which I had that experience about a week ago. Major case of it. Somebody steamrolled me. And I'm not disagreeing with their ideas. I disagree with the way they did it. Now I've got to tell you a little humor before we pray. This guy was walking. He was out walking, getting me exercise, you know. And they were working on the highway. Brother Dinkins knows where I'm going. And he didn't notice the guy on the steamroller was backing up. And there's that little beep, you know, but they were thinking their own, you know, thoughts and looking at their smartphone, whatever, you know. And went right over the top of this guy with a steamroller. So they had him down at the hospital in room 121, room 122, room 123 by the time they got him laid out. Brother Aaron, pray over us, would you?
Lord, we just thank you for this timely message, Father. Lord, we thank you for what you are going to reveal, Lord. Insight into the spiritual realm, Father, into the internal things, Lord, that we need to deal with so that you can have full rule and reign in our lives, Father. Lord, literally help us to be changed and never the same from this message, Father. We thank you for your goodness in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. Would you lift your hands and let's worship the Lord a little bit? Amen. Praise the Lord. God, we worship you. Oh, dear God, We worship you. It's unto you, Lord. You're a good God. You know what you're doing. Hallelujah. You know what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, you do. You know, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. If you can get the victory in your thoughts, then you're going to get the rest of it. But it starts in your thoughts. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Now, here's the way the world looks at this. I know that you've probably read stuff, commentary, but the world is kind of like this. Well, you know what? If you look at some of that porn, but you don't take action on it, there's nothing wrong with that because you didn't do nothing. That's how the world thinks about this stuff. You know, what is it? Every fifth page on the internet's porn. If you just look at that stuff, I mean, if you just look at it and you don't act on it, we're cool. That's how the world teaches it. But that's not how God teaches it. But that's how the world. Well, if you think it, see, and so all of a sudden there's a world of fantasies. And by the way, fantasies are registered in your subconscious and in your nervous system as real. But the world says, well, you know, fantasies don't hurt nobody. Yes, they do. I beg to differ. You know what? I won't even beg. I'll just differ. Okay, because I've been studying my Bible. And God places a priority on things that the world snuffs at. Makes a joke of. The Lord comes back to say, "Ooh, wait a minute. Matthew 5:28, he said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." To our guys, to you precious women, we couldn't have a church like this without our great sisters. So thankful for each one. But like Brother Hughes, Dr. Hughes said, you don't live in a man's body. You don't get it. Could I say that again? Because I heard him say that. Not long ago. Dr. Hughes. Apostolic, what is he like? Almost an apostolic psychotherapist. He's an apostolic, I don't know, an apostolic. I don't want to call him a psychiatrist. It's better than that. That sounds too worldly. He's an amazing man. Love, brother. That's one of my favorite guys to speak at Awakening. He's Dr. Hughes, and most of us miss him, you know, because we're working different things. So we bring his DVD back to show to you. So whosoever looketh on her to lust, see. So God is saying, the world disdains. You know, I often find out that what the world disrespects, God respects. And what the world respects, God often disrespects. You can't let the world teach you how to live for God. Now, I got this little cute saying. I kind of like it. You've heard this part of it, so I'm going to give you the part you know, and then I'm going to give you the spinoff, okay? Here's the part that most of us know. No chain is stronger than its weakest link. I like that. You know, if you got a long chain and you got one weak link in it, boom, you know, the chain's not worth a whole lot because no chain is stronger than its weakest link. But here's my spinoff. No brain is stronger than its weakest think. And, you know, you can be living for God physically and mentally be in a whorehouse. You can be living for God physically, but in your mind, you're allowing a world of chaos and uncleanness to take place because the world told you that it's okay as long as you don't act on it. That's not scriptural. Listen to this from Mark chapter 7. You know, I appreciate God because he's so much more thorough and he makes so much more sense. The world doesn't make a lot of sense. Oh, just a little alcohol, you know. Oh, and they bring on these ads, you know, during the Buckeyes games, you know. And, you know, just responsible drinking, you know. You know, if you carried that through, responsible adultery, you know. Responsible child molestation. Responsible robbing banks. I mean, you know, just do a little of it and you're fine. Now, that don't make no sense at all. How many holes in your boat does it take to sink the boat? Not a lot, does it? Look at this, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, and the first thing mentioned. What, you know, if he has no concern about this, if God thought about this like the world teaches it, you wouldn't find the scripture here. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. What did I say about thoughts being a revelation of your heart? He's concerned about our heart. We go to heaven, heart first. We could almost say thought first, because thoughts reveal our hearts. So from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, comma, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within. See, he turned the world's psychology on its ear when he taught this. Because many of the wise men of history didn't go to this place. They taught this worldly concept. As long as you don't act on it, you're fine. All these evil things come from within. So one of God's biggest concerns about me and you is what's happening on the inside of us. You know, sometimes when I deal with people, I get the feeling I'm being played. If you knew how much I pick up on the Holy Ghost, you'd find it hard to sleep at night. But I don't say everything I sense. Sometimes I ignore it so I can stay focused. You know, when the anointing's on you, you can't say, well, turn this part off and turn this part off and turn this part off. There's stuff that comes at me at the sound of life, the sound and speed of light, 86,272 miles per second at the speed of light, at the speed of life, impressions and things. And I can't yield to it all. I have to put some of it to the side so I can stay focused. But I've learned to listen to the thoughts that God gives me when his anointing is on me. When the Holy Ghost moves on you, listen to the thoughts. Pay attention to the thoughts that are coming to you when his spirit is on you. And the Spirit's moving on you. Is this okay? Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. So, this last couple weeks, I had a very, very, I could say it was shattering. I could say it was disaffecting. It was disillusioning. I could say that it was just one of the toughest things, one of the most egregious experiences that I've had since I've been here in this state. It was not fair. That's what kids love to say. That's not fair. You know, when you graduate from that little statement and make up your mind, I'm going to stop saying that. Because God's just. God is just, but life is not fair. God is just, but life is not fair. God is paying attention to what we're saying inside of us. He dealt with Simon the sorcerer. He said, you need to repent and ask forgiveness for your thoughts. In Acts chapter 8, I want you to repent over the thoughts you've had. See, we can mealy-mouth it. We can sugarcoat it. We can, you know, sometimes when we're not revealing our true self, and they might sense somebody discern our true meaning or our true heart while we hear the words that we like to hear beneath, you know. The wise man hears the word behind the word, or the intention behind the intention, or the motive, or... And that's a beautiful revelation right there, when you understand that when you live for God, he won't let you serve him with terrible motives. He won't let us get by with unclean or selfish motives. I've learned this. You can give me a witness if you would. If you can't give me a witness, just pray about it. The short time that I've served him, right? About 50 years, half a century. I feel like I'm still just in a kiddie pool. I don't even feel like I've come into all my ministry yet. I know that probably blows your mind, doesn't it? I really do believe that. I come into some of it. I'm happy for that. But there's more coming. That's why I'm trying to give you a kick. I was going to say kick you, but I just give you a kick. Praise God. Okay. Woo, I got my child asking me what my goals are. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Now, a wise man said this years ago, we are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves. Isn't that powerful? We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. And then there is this beautiful verse that the success motivational people use. And I got to tell you that years ago, I got to hear Norman Vincent Peale, the author of The Power of Positive Thinking. I got to hear him preach in Albuquerque. Somebody said this, you know, in a commentary, I find Peale appalling and the Apostle Paul appealing. Well, this pastor of the famous church in New York, he was a good writer, and he's inspired me through the years, especially in my younger days. He had a revelation on this verse. Here's the verse that launched the positive thinking, you know, the success movement. And you'll recognize it from Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He's saying the right thing. Oh man, let's get together and let's chow down and let's have fun. You know, isn't it awesome that we can get together? But God says his heart's not, you know, this is what he's saying. This is what he's thinking in his heart. Something that he's not saying. He's saying outwardly, oh, let's eat and drink and have a party. Man, let's have a good time. But in his thoughts, that's not how he's thinking. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The real is, you know. President Clinton had a trouble with that little word, is, what is means. I did not inhale, really. How do you smoke pot and not inhale? I don't know. It's really creative. You know. Coming out your shoes? I don't know. And I love President Clinton. Don't mean that disrespectfully. I just think that he came into a place where he dumbfounded the world when he used the word is improperly and didn't seem to know what it meant. The success movement. So Norman Vincent Peale, the core thought that he used to preach, change your thoughts and you change your world. And in that, in his many books that he wrote, and anybody ever read that book, Power of Positive Thinking and The Power of Positive Believing? And I mean, there's a whole series of books, and you pick up one of them and read it, you get inspired because there's something behind. I'm not saying it's the whole answer, because if you take it too far, you don't need God, you just need a great thought. But there is something about the power of our thoughts. Here's a scripture that sometimes comes to me, see. And I say this realizing that it's not what happens to you that counts. It's how you respond to it. God, in that beautiful parable that Jesus taught in Luke 15, when the prodigal son, who was referring to that? In one of our services not long ago, I think it was Brother Dinkins. And he's coming home and Daddy runs out there to meet him. God had more mercy. Of course, the father is a picture of God there in that story. That father had more mercy on his rebellious son that had taken the inheritance and spent it on harlots and been out in a far country, ended up eating with the pigs. And he's coming home, and his daddy could have been angry, but his daddy was so waiting for him and loved him, and his love had not changed. But that story, he tells what the elder brother did. He had an indignant, cynical attitude, and he wouldn't come in and rejoice with everybody. And God was trying to show something to us, and that is that he wants us to be very, you know, as merciful as we can be without rewriting the Bible or without throwing away principles, we can still believe in principles and be as merciful as we can. How many of you know you've received a lot of mercy? Sister Ball, how's your son doing, Mark? Jesus' name, Lord, touch Brother Mark Ball, we pray. We lift him up. We just lift him up to you, Jesus. What a wonderful young man. We lift him up to you. God, in Jesus' name, touch him. I curse those infections in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Bless him, Lord, I pray. Touch Mark, Lord, in Jesus' name. Wonderful God. Okay, now watch this. I've been processing this very negative experience that I had. The problem was, well, there's several problems to it, but the problem was I had it with God's people. That makes it tougher now. See, makes it tougher. I see the intentions. I give honor. But now, the point of the matter, I'm processing things. I'm praying through on things. Yes, it was unfair, and yes, it was inaccurate. And yes, it was overdone. And yes, I don't want to tell you how it left me. So I don't want to go there because you don't need to hear that. But I do want to tell you this. Where I am in this is where you might be with something or somebody, and that is I'm dealing with myself. See, here's what I found out. If you'll deal with yourself, God won't send somebody to deal with you. If you don't deal with yourself, I promise you, he's got lots of employees. And when somebody deals with you, you know, beside you, they'll never be as merciful to you as you are to you. And God's going to make sure, I know this is going to blow your mind, but God's going to make sure that somebody handles you unfairly to test your spirit and to test your attitude. It will happen, and sometimes multiple occasions, especially when God's getting ready to promote you. He will allow folks to mishandle you. I'll tell you something else. Can I keep on blowing your mind? Should have brought some glue so we put all those cerebral fragments back together after we're done here. He'll allow somebody that's over you to misfire on purpose. At times. Hopefully, Lord, please don't let it be a lot of times. Just maybe. Okay. I mean, you're the boss, Lord. Okay. What was that scripture? Wasn't it not even in my notes that he read today? Obey them that have the rule over you. I think he read it, obey them that have rule over you. It's the rule. And when the reason why I say that is it's definitive. You know, there is Jessica Siebert and there is the Jessica Siebert. See, the only one in the world. Quite like her. And she got under the Holy Ghost today. And I get inspired when people get under the Holy Ghost. And I love to see it. And it makes me want to get under the Holy Ghost. Let's all just be wiped out in God. Praise the Lord. Okay, your mind. God wants to save your heart. He wants to save your mind. And where sometimes we lose it is we've never seen the priority of judging our thoughts, of dealing with, disciplining our thoughts. That's the reason for the helmet. Don't let some things in here. No brain is stronger than its weakest thing. You might be saying sweet, pretty, nice, sugar-coated things from your mouth and be thinking poison in your brain. I'm sure none of us have ever, you know. So, I'm getting ready to talk to somebody, the key person in this whole train wreck that I'm referring to. But I'm not going to talk to them until I've really worked my motor over. I believe the Holy Ghost wants me to talk to them, to help them. Because if they do what they did to me, to everybody, they're going to be in a lot of pain very shortly. Because that's not how you work in the kingdom of God. But before I get to them, I must first see, here it is again. If you don't work yourself over, God will send you some help. Why? You know why? What is all this yawning this morning? Is it boring? Is this just boring? I look around and I see all the way to Tallahassee. My mom used to say, I see your dirty socks. Quit that. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I should be handing out, I guess, cups of coffee today. Maybe this is not for you. Maybe this is just for me. So let me share my agonies with you. I had somebody that trained, you know, that ambushed me several days ago. They ambushed me. I'm serious. And you know what? I love them and appreciate them so much. You're kidding. No, I really do. I just don't think they realize how they come off. See, you can have this big blind spot in your life, and you're not even going to know perhaps fully that it's there until somebody gives you some feedback, because feedback is the breakfast of champions. Especially if it comes from somebody who's already worked themselves over. Now, if you just want to be carnal, be walking around like you're the great Socrates, giving everybody feedback, it doesn't really count for much. But when we see you, your example, and your excellent spirit, and the giving of yourself to ministry and to the work of God, it's easy to hear from you. When we see that your life is clouded with all kinds of stuff, and God is in there somewhere, but he's not foremost, and he's not numero uno, he's not number one, then it's difficult to receive. For those of us who have put our lives on the line, here's a scripture that spoke to me years ago. It continues to speak to me. See, I'm headed. I know where I'm headed. I'm headed toward a very, very, very strong conversation. And it's not going to be a mean one. Not at all. That would not be right. But I've got to take the time to work me over. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody? Everybody just looks so holy today. I mean, goodness. Between the yawn and the holiness, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know what you're talking about. Right now, you're fighting thoughts right now that you need help. Is that thing, anything else you can talk about? I've never had a bad thought. In the last 3 seconds. Okay. God bless you. Here's a verse of scripture that's helped me. Behold, thou is a reference to God. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Psalms 51 verse 6. Behold, thou, Lord, you desirest truth in the inward parts. If we're speaking honey, but in our mind there's war, he wants there to be a parallel between what we are on the outside and what we are on the inside. If our words come across with honeydew, but we have poison in our heart, it's a dichotomy. It's a duplicity. He saw this in Simon. Simon, you need your thoughts redeemed. You need your thoughts forgiven. This world that says it doesn't matter what you think, it's just what you do. God put it on a higher level. I'm interested in what you're thinking. Because what you're thinking is a revelation of what you are in your heart. Now, I don't know how it works in your life, but I got to take the kid gloves off. With you, I usually wear kid gloves. Understand? When I'd like to, you know, throw rotten tomatoes and say, no. Aim those right here. You love those folks out here, but deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. Take the gloves off and deal with yourself. And if you will, then God will bless. Praise God. Y'all look just so sanctified. Man, I'm so glad you have so much victory in your thought life. So glad. You got me under conviction now. Listen to this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do we have this experience where somebody gets up and they're teaching and all of a sudden something just went into operation, like, whoops, I forgot about that, Lord. We were over at that Methodist church, you know. I fell in love with the Methodist people all over again. They were so kind to us. Good friend with Pastor Nathan and those wonderful men. Didn't we have a beautiful time over there? And I remember this one service, I don't know what we were doing or who was teaching or preaching, and I know I was coming down the altar and I was just worshiping with the Lord, and then the Lord reminded me about something. I don't even remember exactly what it was. I think it had to do with somebody. He didn't care if you're trying right with people, right? He didn't care. No, he do care. And I'd forgotten about it. See, the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when the word goes forth, all of a sudden we have this aha moment. It's like an epiphany. Oh, my lands, I forgot. Oh, my. Now, a good thing about, you know, I tell people, if you have a bad memory, don't worry about it. Just forget it. Don't even worry about it. But have you had that happen to you where the man's ministering, you're thinking, he's not even touching anything close to me. Then all of a sudden, ba-boom. And 4th of July fireworks go off in your medulla oblongata. How's that for that biology teacher? Your cerebellum in the middle of your cerebral capacities. All of a sudden you have a God moment in the Lord. Remember that phone conversation you were in last week? Oh, yeah. Remember that email that you sent? Do you remember what you said in that text mail? Oh, my Lord, I forgot. Well, it's still in your phone. Take a peek. I don't trust my heart apart from God. Somewhere we can be saying all the pretty sweet things, but if it's not in here, there's a dichotomy, there's a duplicity, there's a hypocrisy, there's a doubleness that he hates. Now, that doesn't mean that you go, if you're full of poison, you should go spew out all your poison. It means that you should judge that. Don't be afraid to play sheriff with your brain. Hello? Play sheriff with your brain. What does a temptation start with? A thought. What does an attitude, what's an attitude made out of? A collection of thoughts. How do we get a bad attitude? We think bad thoughts and we don't judge them and we don't discipline them and we don't bring them under arrest, and so they proliferate, and pretty soon we have the formation of a terrible attitude because we didn't begin it with the judgment and discipline of our thoughts. This is not in my notes, but let's run over here anyway real quick. Luke chapter 12. Okay? You'll remember this story. An amazing story. Oh my. Great story. In a way. I mean, it's a reference. I think he was referring to somebody literally. All right? And he's trying to teach them something. Watch this. Luke chapter 12. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, of course, it was a parable, but I wonder sometimes if the parable wasn't based upon a story that he knew of. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, you know, God said it was the ground that brought forth. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It started with verse 17, and he thought. The Lord spoke these words and made sure that people understood that the problem began in the man's thought, his thought life. And then God took him to task. Even referred to what he was saying in his thoughts, you know, not just through his mouth, but what he was saying in his mind. God will make sure that somebody forgets to mention that you were one of the boosters. See, you were on the list of the boosters. Let me tell you, this happened. This happened years ago. I was in Bible college. And the Lord used to use me in my home church to sing specials and stuff. That's a little secret. Almost nobody knows that. But anyhow, and, you know, love singing, enjoy singing. But anyway, we had this talent night. And I was on the list to sing. And as well as others. And matter of fact, I did some singing in my Bible college chapel at different times. Began to go out and preach on evangelistic trips. Bible school was an amazing experience. At Purpose Institute, Barry, it's just an amazing ministry, truth be known. And I was so proud of, Bishop Ellis and his vision. And Joe Ellis is just one of a kind, just a great, great man. He's probably an apostle. He wouldn't tell you that, but I could tell you that. I mean, and this thing is all over the world now, this awesome Purpose Institute. But anyway, man, I was ready. I was ready. I was all greased and lubed. You know, I was ready, man. Woo, praise God, man. Let me know. They never called on me. I was on the list. Ladies and gentlemen, I was on the list. The official list. They just never asked me to come and sing. Silent night. So, you know, I could have gone back to Bible school and said, you know what? I am so turned off with this movement. I'm so turned off with this place. I'm so. The deal is you're infected. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you talk to me about infections after I dealt with this root canal and had like 2 months of agony. Would you like to talk about infections? And how much pain. I mean, I was trying to describe to somebody what it felt like. And we were supposed to have a meeting, and I said, Casey, can we? And we had an amazing meeting, by the way, with Casey and Scott. But I said, I'm going to try to explain to you what this feels like. It feels like somebody just walked up and shot me in the mouth with a pistol. That's what it feels like when you've got an infection in your mouth, a rogue tooth. So that's the deal, see? The infection begins in your thought life. What does he think he's doing? You know, somebody walked up to somebody. Hey, they had sung a special. And they walked up to him and said, that's the song that I sing in this church for specials. Here's my response to that. P.U.? Okay. I saw Morel Cornwell stick his tongue out when he was preaching. It seemed like it was 6 feet long. It was unbelievable. When he said something, he didn't like the response, so he just stuck his tongue out. One of the greatest soul winners that we know of, you know. He's won hundreds of people to God, probably thousands. And when he preached something and they didn't respond right, he stuck his tongue out at them. There was an anointing on him. I don't think I want to try that because I want somebody to be here on Wednesday. Beside me and my wife and my child, you know, and the ushers. The infection starts in your thoughts. But, see, I know I'm headed toward a nice little get-together with somebody. But I'm not happy with some of the thoughts that I've thought about that meeting and what I want to say. I'm not happy with myself. So I'm giving myself more time to work my motor over. So that when I get to them, it won't be angst. It won't be anger. It won't even be a bad motive. It will be in obedience to Matthew 18:15. If your brother trespass against you, go to him alone. It'll be obeying Matthew 18:15. If they don't listen, take one or two more. Y'all look so holy. You know what I need to do? I need to give an altar call and have y'all just stay there and put your hand out and pray for me, and I'll come down to the altar and put those hands out that were pastor. Save him, Lord, that rascaled up there. You had some thoughts this morning that if there was a screen behind your head and people could see the thoughts that you thought this morning, they'd want to shoot you. Rubber bullets, but you know, you get the. Okay, you know, it started with this rich man's thought life. He had some thoughts, and those thoughts bothered God. So. Willie Nelson. Anybody remember Willie Nelson? On the road again. Good old Willie. You know, he looks better when he cuts his hair. I'm sorry. I like old Willie's voice. He's kind of like a down-home, kind of redneck, isn't he? But anyway, he can sing. The boy can sing. But he said this. He said, once you replace negative thoughts with positive ones, you'll start having positive results. I thought, Willie, I didn't know you gave out great quotes. That's awesome. Man. Wow. I knew his song. Could play the guitar and sing. And it's a little bit wild down home, boy. But, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. So I want to challenge you this year. Don't let your thoughts run away with you. Don't let them thoughts come down here and become words, and then words come down into your feet and become actions. If you cut it off at the thought life, you save yourself a lot of agony. You save God a lot of time, too. Because I promise you, he's got a million ways to get your attention. And he will help you. Why don't you think, let's think thoughts of victory. Let's think of some victory. Let's talk victory. Let's think victory. I believe that God's got deliverance for that precious bundle there by you, Sister Gina. We love her. We're so honored to have her. There's chains that he wants to peel off of her. In Jesus' name, she's in the right place. Do we believe in deliverance? Yes. Could you lift your hand if you had a little deliverance? Because I've had some deliverance. And we got to pass it out with grace and goodness. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Change your thoughts and you change your life. Thank you, Norman Vincent Peale. So, can anybody... See, I got this so late in the morning, but I still got it. But before I got it as a message, I got it as a, this is what I'm doing. I'm welcoming, giving you a welcome into the war room. I'm waiting till I can say things with a good spirit. Because if you don't, then you create even more damage. And then you get misread again. And then you just, everything escalates. God, I'm so thankful. Lord, I worship you. Let's worship him a little bit here right now. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I know this is not a shouting message, God, I know. But I don't apologize for it because I believe you're trying to help us, Lord. I believe you're trying to help us, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for great hearts and great minds. Sanctify, Lord, our emotions. Sanctify our thoughts, Lord. Help us to ruthlessly deal with thoughts that run astray. Help us, Lord, to ruthlessly deal with ourselves and free your time up so you can work, Lord, and deal with somebody else in a disciplinary way. But Lord, we choose to beat you to the punch. Praise God. Praise God. Your thoughts have presence. Your thoughts can carry power. Your thoughts can be so sanctified and redeemed that God responds with a new anointing because you dared to discipline your thoughts and judge your thoughts. Hallelujah. What does that scripture say in Psalms? His words were smooth as butter, but war was in his heart. Wonderful God, touch me today, Lord. In Jesus' name. I love the prayer that David prayed many, many, many years ago. Don't you love David? I mean, David was such a special man, but he had his foibles and he had his faults. You know, when Nathan the prophet dealt with him and said, "Thou art the man. You are the problem, sir." He prays a prayer in Psalms 139. Search me, O God. You know, why would a God who's all-knowing need to search anything? If he's omniscient, all-knowing, search me, O God. Well, most great and all-knowing God, go ahead and put it in the, you know, put it on the search mode there and click go. And if, in case there's anything you missed in your all-knowingness, just making sure, you know. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Wow. Yeah. Lift your hands to the Lord as Thad comes. Praise God. Oh, de lo que están tan emoch. Metelo propo colosso toramosha. Ore masharani mi ombro popo promo soce. Spirit of the Lord. I worship you, I worship you. I worship you, I worship you. Go ahead, let that go, let it go. Just forgive them. Whatever you miss, God will catch. He has a large shovel. You don't have to straighten everybody out. Because God doesn't miss anything, really. So I've been working my motor over. Part of my preparation for the service was not just praying for direction. It was working my motor over because I don't have the right to get up here with a heart that's not been judged and not been dealt with. So much of my preparation, much of the time, is not how many hours of study, but how right I am in my heart and spirit. I'm so glad I belong to such an amazing fellowship. I'm not out there floating, you know. I have amazing friends. I have amazing preachers in my life. I have amazing voices. And God's going to step back and allow it to happen every once in a while. You and me, no exceptions. Somebody will mishandle us, even though their intentions were probably perfect. It's not just what happens to you, sir. It's how you handle it. Somebody in your company. Somebody will get that promotion, and you know you deserved it before they did. You deserved it. By the way, special honor to these that were coming this week. I know I came one day, and Tim was there, and Brother Dinkins was there, and Brother Paul was there, and I said, "Here's the inspector general." And you know what I said when I walked in? I said, "Oh, I think I mean inspector private." Man, hours and hours and hours, those men working over here to get these Sunday school rooms ready for our kids. How can you say thanks enough, you know? I am so humbled by my old wicked heart without God. So glad I have the Holy Ghost. I'd like to get it again today if I could. You think I'm serious? I'm serious. I could use more. If you got too much, come over here and just pray it down on me. The reason for the helmet. He didn't want you to lose the war in your mind. Because you can say pretty things and have crazy, crazy anger in your heart. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness. Could anybody be honest today as we pray for a few minutes? Could anybody walk to this altar and stand with me? Don't let me stand up here alone, because I probably need to be in this altar as much as anybody, if not more. And consider it standing here in this pulpit even. I'm in the altar area. I want to be in the altar area. Hallelujah. Give me a tender heart, Lord. Give me a tender heart. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord. Help us to give it out. So when it's our turn and we need some, that'll be easy for you to give us some. Help us to give out some of that mercy, Lord. Help us to give out some of that loving kindness. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Yes, Lord. I give you praise. Lord, we stand before you in this altar, God. Search me and know my thoughts. Oh, Lord, know. Let your light shine.
Keep them clean. Keep my heart in purity.
Worship you.
That I may walk.
Thank you for the helmet.
All you have.
Thank
for
you, Lord. Thank you.
Oh, thank here you. I stand, arms open wide.
And wide, open wide.
Oh, oh. I am yours.
In Jesus' name. Redeem us again. Save not only our hearts, but save our minds. Save, Lord. Redeem our thoughts. Help us to be, Lord, ruthlessly methodical and thorough with ourselves before we ever touch anybody else, Lord. Help us to really, Lord, deal with ourselves. Much. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I am yours, and you are mine.
You're mine, you are mine. Yes, Lord. Sometimes I just say, Lord, I plead your blood over my thoughts. I plead your blood over my lips. I plead your blood over my mind. I plead your blood, Lord. I plead your blood, Lord. Wash my brain in your blood. Wash my heart in your blood. Oh, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I worship you. Catch it. Stop it. Put it in handcuffs. Bring it under discipline. Arrest that thought. Don't let it run wild. It'll draw other thoughts. It'll drop down into words, and words will drop down into your feet, into actions. And so we catch it in the thought form. We deal with it. We bring it under discipline by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He'll make sure that once in a while somebody will forget your name. I was at a Christmas for Christ seminar. I took all the training, had the notebook, and when they handed out the diplomas, guess whose name they forgot to call? Yours truly. Cost me a lot to be there because I was evangelizing and I wasn't picking up no check being in a seminar. So I guess now I should be against home missions because they forgot to give me my diploma. I never even told them about it. Just an opportunity to be nasty. Man. Home missions is one of my favorite subjects. It's one of my favorite passions, the starting of new churches. But see, if I wanted to be, I could. Down there in Baton Rouge, you know, at the Christmas for Christ seminar, they forgot to call my name and give me my diploma. We are so blessed. We are so blessed.